But when you're not active, that means that you're not present and you ain't always doing what you're supposed to that is required for you to be a part of that group. Come on and say amen. Are you an active member of the church? Yes or no? If I've been there, I'm active. If I ain't, I'm not active. Come on and say amen. And so what we got to understand is that when we are seeking God, we're actively seeking him. We are actively pursuing him. In other words, I'm in his presence on a regular. Preach. I'm always praying to him. I'm always talking to him. I'm always praising him. I'm always lifting him up. I'm always, always doing something to glorify him and to expand his kingdom. And so therefore, I am actively pursuing him. Y'all can say amen now. I ain't talking about money. So we got to seek him. Seek the kingdom. He said, seek ye first. So put the first thing in order. The kingdom of God. What is the kingdom? Kingdom is the king's domain. It's where he rules, where he reigns. And so in order first to be able to seek the kingdom, you got to know the king. And if you don't, you got to become a subject to the king. And so we must humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he'll exalt us in due season. We got to submit ourselves to God. And when we submit ourselves to God, the Bible says this: submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he shall flee. Why in the world do we play into the...
We know your hearts have burned within. Now the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries. Louisiana, Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Bell Street, Magotus, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Hampton, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Hampton, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship, and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Please bless us. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
Is KAYT Gina Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to the book of Hebrews chapter 12. And I won't be long before you today. We're going to go to the book, to the third chapter of this 12th chapter of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3. I spoke this morning from verse 2, and we talked about Jesus, the pattern for our perfection. The pattern for our perfection, Jesus. But verse 3 tells us to look at the pattern for another reason. And verse 3 tells us to look at the pattern for his persistent patience in enduring. And I think more than anything, my brothers and sisters, the writer of the Hebrews wanted to draw attention to our pattern, Jesus. who would show us how to be able to start and finish with success. And as we get into the text, we will take a moment and step back into verse 12 and bring you on up to verse 2 and bring you up to verse 3. All right, if you have it, let's begin reading now. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in his presence. One of the things that we need to know, again, verse 2 tells us that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. The word author means example or pattern. And then it says, not only is he the author, the example, the pattern of our faith, but he's also the finisher of our faith, which means he is the perfecter of our faith. In other words, Jesus knows from A to Z how to take us from one good degree of faith, yes, to the next. If there's anyone's faith we need to follow, it is Jesus's. Verse 1 talks about the great cloud of witnesses that's watching us run the race. It gives us some helpful holy hints as to what we should do. And it makes clear that we should lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, throw us off course, mess us up. Hey, listen, and let us run with patience. That's enduring patience, patient endurance. The race that is set before us. I want to say to us very clearly that every one of our races is customized. Yes, sir. If your racetrack don't look like mine, it's because you have a customized track. There are many of us who look at other folks' tracks and wonder why theirs don't look the same. It's because you must realize that you have been given a customized course set before you. You didn't pick it. You didn't choose it. The Lord put that course for you before you because he knew what you could handle. There are many of us who desire to be this and be that, but God knows we can't handle this and that. But he does know what we can handle, and so our courses are designed so that we have success at the end of our race. And then verse 2 comes back and it starts telling us to look unto Jesus, looking. It's a consistent looking at him. Every time, if you're looking at a pattern and you're trying to make the outfit that's on the package cover, the pattern tells you how to make what you're trying to make look like the cover of the pattern. And when you unfold the pattern and put it on the material, you start cutting and you start sewing, you're going to note that the pattern is going to let you know where you should cut, where you should do this, where you should do that, do all of it. And you might just have a big blob of material. But when you lay the pattern down and you cut it out, you get rid of all the excess stuff that's not needed for the pattern. And one of the things Jesus teaches us how to do is to do it like he did it. Point number one was faith. He is the author and finisher of our faith.
Yes, yes.
Faith, faith. You have got to have the faith of the Son of God to be perfected. Secondly, he shows us in this race, in the pattern that he sets, who for the joy that was set before him, the joy, the joy. Now he shows us not only must you have faith, but you must have focus. And you focus on the joy, not the sadness, not the bad times, not the things that bring you down, not the evil people, not the persons who hate you, not all of the things that aren't going well. Focus on the joy. And we were his joy while hanging on the cross. We were his why for hanging there. He could have come down. He could have changed his mind. He could have done away with the enemies. But he went through everything he went through so that we could be bought with a price and redeemed back to his heavenly Father to complete the assignment that God gave him to come down and get us. And so he kept his focus on the joy. I tried to tell the church earlier, keep your focus on the joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. If you want strength, keep your eyes on the things that's going to give you. Now, we were Jesus' joy, but guess what? Jesus is our joy.
Come on, doctor.
And our strength comes from the Lord. But not only that, he says, who for the joy that was set before him, what did he do? Endured the cross, despising the shame. Now, he has his faith, he has his focus, but he knows his fight. And his fight was against Satan. It wasn't against the people. When on that cross, he looked down and said, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. They're doing the work of Satan, the one who wants to destroy me. They can't do it because Satan can't do it. But forgive them because they're being used as pawns. See, he knew who his fight was against. And he began his first of seven utterances on the cross by asking the Heavenly Father to forgive those who thought that they were doing a good thing by getting rid of an evil man. But that was not the case. Know this, your fight isn't with that person who don't like you. Your fight isn't with that brother or sister whom you done fell out with. Your fight is not with that person who called you everything but a child of God.
Yes.
Your fight is with the source that has caused that person to do all those things. And that's the same person that Jesus fought against.
Yes,
and that's Satan himself. But you must know who your fight is against. And then lastly, and is set down on the right hand of the Father, of God rather. It says, for us to understand his work was finished.
Yes,
he started it and he finished it. It's so important to know, if you're going to do anything for God, you have to both start it and finish it. How many of us can look back over our lives and see so many things started out good,
yes,
but did not finish well?
All right, Doc.
In Christ, we learn how to start and to finish. Now, the writer of the Hebrew calls our attention to something else that was so important that he thought we needed to consider our pattern one more time. For consider him, Jesus, our pattern. Listen, for consider him that endured, that's our patient persistence or persistent patience, endured such contradictions, hostility, evil, threatenings, all kind of ungodly things against himself. Listen at this now. These were attacks that were against Jesus. You know, many of us can do all right as long as they're attacking my God. But when you start attacking me, I'm like, wait a minute, I ain't going to be too many more of those. All right, keep on, keep on. Come on now. I ain't Jesus. My name is John. I'm going to show you. Yeah, you know, we see, the devil knows how to attack the person and the flesh, because you'll lose it or lay it down if he stay on that flesh too long. All right, I done told you. I done told you. You know, you before you know it, you done lost yourself. Amen. You saying stuff you never thought you would have said. You wind up repenting and, Lord, forgive me. Jesus. I tried to tell them leave me alone. But they wouldn't listen. They weren't listening. I tried to tell them. Listen, Job knew. The devil knew, skin for skin, a man would do anything to save his skin. Told him, if you just touch him, God said, I'm not going to do that. I'll let you do it. After he took everything that was from Job, he began to attack his body, his flesh, his emotions, messed with his wife, who messed with him, did everything he could to take Job out of that place where he was one with God. But Job maintained his integrity. And that too is what the believer must learn to do. Maintain your integrity. Listen. They can cuss all they want. They can say all they want. But if you know it's not true, you need to know, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. But let's get wild. Let's see what the Bible says. Listen. For consider. Now this word consider also means to compare. Compare what? Compare when folk talk about you and when folk lie on you and when they say all kind of evil things about you and when they get behind your back and whisper behind your back saying things that are not true. How do you handle those things? How do you handle them? Well, the writer says, consider him, Jesus, our pattern. What did Jesus show us? How to handle false accusations from faulty accusers.
All right.
How to handle false accusations from faulty accusers.
Yes, Lord.
My mother used to say all the time, consider the source. You see, when you consider the source, you can tell why what they say is being said because of who they are and whose they are. When you consider the source and you recognize your source and their source are two different sources, then you can't have the same response.
Yes, Lord.
Somebody missed that.
Yes, Lord.
If their father is Satan, the devil, got them cussing you out, talking lower than low, doing you every damnable thing they can do, and your source is God, then you can't turn around and get even with them.
All right.
You can't turn around and do the same thing they're doing because your source is different.
All right, doctor.
Your source say, turn the other cheek. Your source says, pray for them. That despitefully use you. Your source tells you, if they ask for your coat, give them your cloak also. Your source is different. Listen, for consider him, and I'm almost through now, that endured patiently, persevered his endurance of those who made false accusations and were faulty accusers. Can I tell you, someone said many years ago to me, all false fronts fall. And you better know that's the truth. Only the truth is going to stand.
Yes, it will.
Only the truth is going to last. And only the truth will God uphold.
Yes, Lord.
Let me just tell you, what are some of the accusations? For consider him. Consider him. That endured through all of these bad things that were said. Rita, help me if you don't mind. Matthew chapter 12, verses 27 and 28. Read it for me.
Matthew 12, 27. And if I, by Beelzebub, cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. Verse 28. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you.
Amen. Amen. Listen to this. They called him a blasphemer. They said he wasn't the Son of God and that he cast out demons by the power of Satan. And so he addresses, Matthew says, this accusation that if I cast him out by the devil, then he makes clear further to say that if he, the devil cast himself out, he's tearing his own kingdom down. But he was not a blasphemer. He was the Son of God. He had the power of God. He cast out those demons because he was the authoritative Son of God who came to show his power and his greatness in the earth realm and to let the folk know that he was who he said he was. Go to Mark 14, 55 and 56.
Mark chapter 14, verse 55. And the chief priests and all the council sought for witnesses against Jesus to put him to death and found none. Verse 56. For many bear false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together.
Now, they said he was a deceiver, he was a liar. They said he, again, was not who he said he was. They got folk to lie, but their lies didn't agree. You know, that's the problem with lie. You tell one, you got to tell another one. And then, that's right. That's right. And then you got to remember all the way back where you started with the first lie, so you don't get confused. And because he was telling the truth and they were lying, their lies did not agree. They couldn't be a witness to the truth when they weren't telling the truth.
All right, doctor.
In our court system, in our jurisprudence, the bailiff asks us to raise your right hand. Swear after me, I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Lawyers will tell you. Prosecuting attorney will tell the judge, tell him answer only what I say. I don't need all this, what he or she think I say. Just answer what I say. Tell me the truth, not what you feel about the truth. Move on to Luke, Leviticus 23 and 14. Let's see what Luke says there.
Luke chapter 23, verse 14. Said unto them, ye have brought this man unto me, and as one that perverteth the people,
perverted.
And behold, I have examined him before you, have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof ye accuse him.
Yes, Lord. Now, if Pilate says, you Jews have brought this man for me to condemn because he was perverting the people against Rome and against me, he said, I've examined him, and I don't find a fault in the world with him. None. None. How do you think the high priests and the Pharisees and the Essenes and all of these folk who came together against Jesus felt when a heathen king couldn't find any fault with this man called Jesus? Faulty accusations, false rather accusations by faulty accusers. Every last one of them who accused him had issues of their own.
Lord have mercy.
Every last one of them who tried to bring charges against him, he could have blamed them for everything wrong they've done in their lives. But he didn't play the blame game. John almost speaks to the same thing. Let's go to John 18, 29 and 30 right quick. And then I'm through, I'm gonna move on.
John 18, verse 29. Pilate then went out unto them and said, what accusations bring ye against this man? Verse 30. They answered and said unto him, if he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee.
They say, listen, if he weren't a malefactor, if he weren't a crook, if he weren't low good, if he wasn't a lawbreaker, why would we be bringing him to be put to death? False accusations. They called his birth illegitimate.
Yes, yes.
Because at the time he had gotten to this place where he was born, his mother and his father never knew each other, but folk who are wicked don't think righteous. They were espoused to each other, and they thought that what was done in the dark came out in the light.
All right, doctor.
They didn't know that Joseph was his legal father, but God was his heavenly father. They didn't know that side of truth.